From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. And after 13 weeks of testimony from others, today it was former Enron chairman Kenneth Lay's turn to take the witness stand. He told the jury in Houston that he's innocent of the fraud and conspiracy charges filed against him. At age 64, Lay faces the very real possibility of spending the rest of his life in jail if he's convicted. NPR's Wade Goodwin is at the federal courthouse in Houston and joins us right now. Wade, Ken Lay has a reputation for being affable. How's he coming across as a witness?
Well, he's coming across as quietly self-assured. He started off by saying that he never could have imagined that he would be up there on the stand facing federal charges. He talked about how he grew up working on farms in rural Missouri. His daddy was a Baptist preacher. By way of acknowledging that he'd gotten rich during his tenure at Enron, Lay said, "I've not only pursued the American dream, I've achieved it. And some would say in the last few years, I've lived the American nightmare." I thought that was effective because no matter where you stand on the subject of Ken Lay, you can nod your head when he says that. And starting out, that's what he and his lawyers want with this jury.
Well, the prosecutors say that Enron went bankrupt after the company's various accounting frauds were revealed and the stock market and Wall Street lost confidence in the company. How does Ken Lay explain what happened to his company?
He blames three things. The first is Andy Fastow. Fastow was the former chief financial officer who stole tens of millions of dollars from Enron. He also blames short sellers. Short sellers are analysts and investors who make money by betting on a company stock going down. Lay complained that Enron was the short seller's favorite target during that last year of its life. And he blamed the Wall Street Journal for running a series of negative articles about Enron's troubles a few weeks before the company went bankrupt. So Andy Fastow and his crimes, short sellers who were betting against Enron, and the investigative reporting done by the Wall Street Journal, in Lay's mind, those three things combined to create a run on the bank, and that doomed the company.
Now, you have to explain something to us, Wade. As I understand it, Kenneth Lay has to be very careful in his testimony, lest by a slip of the tongue he open the door to evidence that would be potentially damaging to his case. What is that? What is that all about?
It was an incident that happened in 1987, and it involved two rogue Enron traders who were in the company's New York office. Auditors, internal auditors, had found evidence that these two guys had opened an off-the-books bank account, that they'd shifted profits around, created fictitious losses, and then cashed tens of thousands of dollars in checks using a fake name. Now, prosecutors say that at the time, Ken Lay portrayed himself as being shocked when he found out about this, saying that he never would have suspected these two guys of any wrongdoing. But the government says that actually, in fact, Lay had been warned for months by auditors about these two, and instead of moving to fire them, Lay asked Enron's board of directors to spare them because these traders were some of the company's biggest moneymakers. Eventually, the head of that Enron operation served a year in prison for a conspiracy and filing false tax returns. Now, you can imagine how prejudicial this is going to be if the jury found out. It'd be devastating. So far, Judge Lake has been reluctant to allow it into evidence since it doesn't speak to the current allegations, but that could change if Lay speaks too glowingly about the kind of exemplary life he's led in the past. He's got to be careful because prosecutors are dying to prove him wrong on this point, and he does not want to give them the opportunity.
Now, Lay's fellow defendant, Jeffrey Skilling, wrapped up his cross-examination last week after starting his testimony. It felt like sometime in 2004. How long will Ken Lay be on the stand?
If this evidence we just talked about comes into it, it's going to be a lot longer than we thought. I think about a week, but it could be longer than that if the prosecution is allowed to introduce this evidence of the Valhalla incident.
Okay. That's NPR's Wade Goodwin at the Enron trial in Houston. Thanks, Wade.